See if we can just spend, if we can wax philosophical in a contemporary halakha class for around 20 seconds, is a very important idea, because in ancient societies, in ancient communities, the notions of rights of privacy were simply not known. Citizens did not have certain types of rights, and while for us it's obvious that halakha, it's obvious that the Torah is concerned about those issues. If you look at other societies at the time of the giving of the Torah, and definitely in the time of the development of the Halacha and the time of the Gemara, this is not the norm. So much to the point that yesterday I actually was in a meeting with the dean of the law school, Dean Rudenstein, and he saw a whole bunch of Makorot sheets on my conference table and asked me what I was working on. We were talking about we're creating, please God, with the law school, to teach the women in particular who are becoming lawyers there the halachas of Gittin, so that they can represent women in issues of get, having knowledge both of the legal system and also of the halachic system on some level. So he, when I told him I'm preparing this class on the rights of privacy, his idea, he was very surprised to learn that in our tradition, so many thousands of years ago, the rights of an individual citizen was something of such distinction and such concern. And was very excited to it. He's a very caring human being, a very caring Jew, very excited to learn about that. So this idea about the notion of hezekiah, of the right of privacy, is something that is important to recognize, and it's seen in a few different places. First, it's seen in physical entry into a person's home. That's not our focus, but it's the first two sources of our handout. They're sources hopefully known to everybody in this room, and that is that if somebody needs some type of mashkin, some type of, he owes somebody money, he needs some type of security, lo tavo el beso, you're not allowed to go into the person's house, v'chutz tamod, you're not allowed to go in, you have to stand outside, and the person has to bring it to you. Even a shliach beis din, as the Rambam tells us, based on the Gemara, lo yikanes le beso, el omed v'chutz, he has to stay outside. So in other words, and what happens is the person who borrowed the money goes in and brings something from his house. So this idea of being so concerned about the home, about the privacy of the domain, is such that even when the person owes money and is overdue on that payment and the mashkin is required and things of that nature, there's still a certain sensitivity above and beyond the idea, if the person's poor, that you only take certain types of mashkins that will not affect the individual in his daily routine. This idea is also not only idea of physically entering the home, but any type of visual penetration. That's what hezekiah is. A visual penetration of the person's home or of the person's domain. And that is based on a pasuk, a beautiful pasuk in Bamidbar, again, that I think we're familiar with. I recognize here that this is definitely Seamus now, because I thought I had gotten all the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First pasuk I did not, but Vayisa Be'olam Eseinav Vayaris Yisrael Shochem L'Shvatav Vatihi Alav Ruach Elokim. And then he says the Matov Olecha Yaakov, famous statement. And the Gemara tells us that the words Vayisa Be'olam Eseinav Vayaris, and when Bilam lifted his eyes and he saw Vatihi Alav Ruach Elokim, the literal translation might be that the Spirit of God was upon Bilam. But the Gemara translates it, Vatihi Alav Ruach Elokim, Amar Ru'uyim Halalu Shetishra Aleihem Shechina, that they deserve to have the Spirit of God upon them because of the tzniut, because of the way in which the Jewish people orchestrated their tents so that there was a certain capacity to have privacy. So we see this notion of visual penetration and the prohibition of a visual penetration, or the praise of the fact when one does not visually penetrate someone else's domain. Let's, for a few minutes, go to some of the major sources. Mazel tov. Let's go to some of the major sources. Baba Basra Daf Nun Tesamad Beis. So Baba Basra Daf Nun Tesamad Beis tells us we have to do some of this inside. Well, Yiftach Adam Chalonasav V'Chatzer Shutfim. One cannot open one's windows even to a Chatzer Shutfim, even to a Chatzer that is owned by you and somebody else. The Gemara is going to explain the nuance of using that as your example. Lakach Bayis B'Chatzer Acheres. And the Gemara goes on and gives you some other issues regarding if you take another home, you can't create an additional entryway into the chatzer that would add additional traffic to the joint chatzer. If you build an addition to your house, you cannot create an entryway that into your second story that labriut that comes from the chatzer of the joint. That has joint dominion over you. But if you want to open the second floor, if you want to build an aliyah, Ela Imratza, we're still in the middle of the Mishnah here, Bona es acheder lifnim mi beso, Bona aliyah so agave beso, upotcha letoch beso. You should then basically have an inner, you know, just an inner stairwell, not an inner entrance, not anything else of that nature. The Gemara asks the question, and we're not going to have the time again to go through all these Gemaras, but this is an important one to go through. The Gemara says, "My yir lechatzar shutfim." Why does the Mishnah use chatzar shutfim? It should even be chatzar chavero. So it's telling you, teach you a chiddush. Nami lo, let me buy kamar. Let me buy lechatzar chavero de lo. Avach lechatzar shutfim. The amale sof sof haka bayis. It's tanue mine b'chatzar. You might think that a chatzar shutfim sins. You don't have your friend, the other guy does not have total ownership over that chatzer. He has to be more tsunua in that chatzer because I also have ownership in that chatzer. Kamash Malan. So the answer is I still can open windows into a joint chatzer that I have some ownership of. The amalei ada idna b'chatzer ahu have the ada idna until today b'chatzer have be idnet tsnuim minach. I only had to be tsnius to you. When you were in the chatzer itself, I had to watch what I was doing. Now I have to be sanua in our joint domain because I'm afraid not only when you're walking in the chatzer, not only when you're walking in that courtyard, but also if you're in your own home, so you've compromised my privacy, there's visual penetration, you're not allowed to do that. Now this next two lines is a very important two lines. Because there's a machlokus within the Rishonim of how one learns this Gemara, and that machlokus has important relevance. Tana Rabbanan, Ma'isa ba'adam echad, shepatach chalonasav b'chatzer shutfim. He opens his windows to the chatzer shutfim. Obal lifnei Rabbi Shmo bar Rabbi Yossi. And no one said anything. That's the way it's understood by the Rishonim. No one said anything. He opened his windows, he kept them open, no one said anything. So then the guy was upset. He didn't want the windows open. 3 years later, again, there's different Rishonim who understand this differently, but we'll do a simple shot for right now. Obal lifnei Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi comes in front of Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi because he wants to defend his right to keep his windows open. Amar lo chazaka b'nei chazaka. You know, you have created a chazaka. You've had these windows open. No one's complained about these windows. You can keep them open. Here we see some indication that perhaps there are times that visual penetration is not. If you don't protest against visual penetration and the person has a chazakah, that perhaps some forms of visual penetration can be overlooked. Not encouraged, but overlooked. But then they went in front of Rav Chi. Seems to be they weren't happy with Rabbi Shmuel by Rav Yossi's understanding of this issue. It was shopping. Amar, Yagata, Patachta, you worked very hard to open them. Now, Yagata, Vasasum. Now go ahead and close them. Amar Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, "Belistom, close. You have to close it. Isn't there a chazaka? Basically, that for 3 years this person had it open. La alter havi chazaka. She'ain adam asoi shestumim ora b'fanav shotek." This is at. There is different ways to read this Gemara, but basically there's this whole argument whether the person has to close it or not. Here there's also another thing. this is also dealing with another issue, and that is building a wall which compromises light. I don't want to get into that piece per se, but the point that I want to recognize is that there seems to be some type of machlokes within the Gemara whether a chazaka works regarding the ideas of someone who opened windows into somebody's chatzar ashutfim, and there seems to be two opinions here, and that carries itself out throughout the various different rishonim. This idea of a chazak, but what's clear here is, and what's the point I want to make here from this Gemara, is that clearly there is an issue of an isser of creating additional penetration, visual penetration, into a person's either home or into a person's yard, as even if the yard is owned in common. In other words, even if I have some ownership in that yard, I still cannot compromise the privacy by additional visual penetration. In fact, this idea is highlighted in the Me'iri, where the Me'iri in the next page tells us that if you look at the third line in the Me'iri, Kol shelo nistayek hezek ri'iya yafeh afilu nagu kofim ze'etzeh achistalek. Irrespective of what the minhag ha-makom is, and we'll get to that in a few moments, any time there is a hezek ri'iyah, you have a responsibility to be mistalik it, to remove it, because a hezek ri'iyah is a shmei hezek, it is actually a hezek. That's what the Rambam tells us also. The Rambam, the third source on the second page, in Hilchot Shechinim, also tells us, she hezek ri'iyah hezeku, that a hezek ri'iyah is not a grama type of hezek, even though there are some who suggest that. The predominant opinion within the Rishonim is that hezek ri'iyah is a full-blown form of damage, and therefore needs to be dealt with in an expeditious way. Interesting that the Me'iri does mention something. If you look at again that top source on the page, five lines from the bottom of the Me'iri, the Ein Choshishim, middle of the line, the Ein Choshishim, the Hezek Shmiya Klal. There is a prohibition of a visual penetration, but not of a penetration that is of sound. In other words, we expect you, the wall, unless there is government codes of what the wall is, the wall does not need to be, if you need to put up a wall, let's say, between two people's yards, that wall does not need to be soundproof. It has to stop a visual penetration. It does not need to stop sound penetration. Yes?
Many examples are here that, like, how much the wall has to be.
Yes, yes. How high the wall has to be?
I mean, like,
and what type of wall it has to be?
Strings of char, somewhat.
Right, so here that doesn't work like that. It has to be, four amos high. It has to, exactly the style of the wall, it depends. It's not, love it here doesn't work from the perspective of that it's not a halachic wall you need to create. It's some type of visual, separation for you to fulfill the halachic requirement of tzniut. So a love it wall would not work. Creating strings, that are within three tfachim of each other might be love it. It just would not achieve the attended goal here and would not fulfill the obligation. And by the way, the Rush also says, the Rush that we have in front of us, I numbered some of the lines, you'll see that line 20, it says, Deratzui bonim es hakotel bar korcho, alma hezek ri'iya shmei hezek. In other words, the idea of responsibility to build a wall because to separate, let's say, 2 yards, because of the idea that hezek ri'iyah is truly a hezek. And if you look right before Osbet in the Rush, the last few lines, b'chol duchta kaimalan the hezek ri'iyah shmei hezek. So I'm just trying to accentuate the point that the normative approach amongst the Rishonim is that hezek ri'iyah is a full-blown hezek, full-blown form of a hezek. I'd like to just for a few minutes again move to where we're moving here because we have till Rabbi Schwartz 2:40, right? I'd like to now go through some of the halachas with you, and then I want to go through the notion of chazaka. Does the chazaka apply? Pesach Re'iyah. Then go through a little bit of distance and height. Speak a little bit about does minhag hamakom apply. Then show you a few tshuvas within the Rishonim. Then discuss the solution, the practical solutions, all in the next hour and 20 minutes. And we will do that, right? We're not going to go through all of this. And, you know, when you live in Florida and you are, Baruch Hashem, in a place in which everybody's building homes, and then people, thank God, have larger families and they build larger homes. It's interesting. You can give a drush on this sometime. In some of the luxury areas all over the United States, do your own research on this, but it's a great drasha. There are sometimes more there are sometimes more room in the garages built than there are bedrooms for children. In other words, you could have a 5-car garage and a 3-bedroom villa. Okay, Baruch Hashem, that wasn't the reason why there was building going around. And you know where I was, but it created challenges nonetheless, because you know basically every home in Boca is built with a pool. So what happens is you decide you build a second floor, and all of a sudden your neighbor next door to you has just one floor, right? And all of a sudden you're looking into their backyard, into their pool, into everything. You have Hezek Re'iyah Shilas up the kazoo, and all of a sudden they're happening. You know, and of course, the people who are building the second floors and the nice second floors are normally your wealthier balabatim who are supporting all your institutions. And those are the ones, and you have to remind them, you have to police the situation about dealing with the Hezek Re'iyah Shaila, because privacy can become a lost commodity when you have building going on like this. And then you have to find a way maybe to have discussions with the builders and explain to them that they get put on some type of approved list, if encouraged approved list, if they follow certain laws of Hezek Re'iyah to obviate the problems of Hezek Re'iyah. But in order for this not to be a show and tell, but to actually give you, you know, some overview, it's more appropriate that we spend more time on the laws and less time on the discussions, as long as I share with you some paradigms of how to deal with these issues in a very practical way. Now, a lot of these tshuvas, I gave you the whole thing because I think they're great tshuvas, even though we won't do the whole thing, but they're good for you to have in your arsenal should you ever decide to give a shiur on Hezek Re'iyah one time. Basically, this is like a whole Shavuah shiur. There's 2-3 hours in here for you, should you wish. Let's now move to some of the issues in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay? So that is towards the end of the handout, on page 11. Okay? I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but there's some key halachas. Maybe all, you should read these simanim. Kufnun Dalet, Kufnun, you know, all Kufnun Hey, Kufnun Vav, Kufnun Zion. These are the key simanim on these issues. But we don't have the time to read them all. Okay? So I'm going to just read a few of them and then point out the issues I'd like to point out. So the first halacha in Kufnun Daud, Echad min ashutfim b'chatzah shalakach bayis b'chatzah acheres, enu yachol levtoach, enu yachol levtoach, hischa l'chatzah shutfim shalo. Shkol echad b'vnei achatzah, ein lo reshut l'shano klal. The kamo, shabanu, o kanu, o yirushu, yesh lahem linhog. O afilu banalia al gag beisol lo yasa lo l'tocha chater v'ishamar b'lehanasadera. We all saw this in the Mishnah. You can't add to the traffic of a yard owned by everybody. Nasa kimi shahayol lo shachin echad v'nasulo shcheinim harbe. Avo yachohu livnos aliyah al gag beisol binyan chadash v'vad shalotehe petucha l'chater el l'toch beisol. V'ein tzarech lo mashim ratz alachvok l'shnayim choleg kibin she'eno poseach pesach echad l'chater. So this is the basic halacha that we just learned. That is not to create any extra traffic in a common domain. This is not the normative issue of concerns. The normative issues of concerns come a little bit later in the Shulchan Aruch. And if we turn to the next page, Kuf Nun Dalet Gimel, we start to see this issue. Here we see the following. Lo yiftach adam chalom l'chatzar chaveiro. One cannot open a window to the chatzar of his friend. Vafilu echad me'ashutfim b'chatzar shebikes tiftoach lo chalom v'tof beso l'chatzar ma'akev alav shutfo. I cannot open a window into a domain that I own in partnership with somebody else. Then b'noshel kal v'chomer, I can't open a window that overlooks somebody else's backyard. If he opens it, it can be closed. By the way, you'll see closed can mean closed in a whole bunch of different ways. Closed means that you obviate the violation of visual penetration. So I'm now going to switch to a more pragmatic perspective. Closed can mean frosting the window, so that the window, you can't see through it. Frosting it without it being able to be opened, so that the frosting of the window cannot be, destroyed by simply opening the window. Closing can mean putting in very large, if you on second floor, very large palm trees that totally, again, I'll just use my more practical examples, that totally cover that window and did not allow it anything but to have light. Closed can mean creating a window structure that is that basically has blocked windows. Like there was a couple that did this, and they created this for all of their windows. They built a second floor, and what happened was on the side in which it looked to the neighbor, it was totally blocked with block glass, and on the side that didn't look to the neighbor, it was totally open glass. The bottom line is, you have to obviate the visual penetration into somebody's backyard. And we'll see that, I'll show you one case in which the Pesachei Tshuva highlights this idea of a frosted glass. Okay? But let's say your neighbor says, sure, we're good friends, we don't mind, open it. So the Mechaber says, you still shouldn't open window against window or door against door. The Ramah, u'pesach neged pesach, lo mahani chazaka. The Ramah even goes further and says, a pesach neged pesach, a chazaka doesn't work. We'll have to discuss why that's the case. We will mention it. It's based on understanding what the notion of chazaka is. There's an interesting stipler in the beginning of Sanhedrin and Daf Vav there or so that discusses the whole notion of what chazaka is, and it really could apply to this. But we'll keep it a little bit more simpler, basically just seeing some different approaches amongst the Rishonim and what the issue is here. But who adin b'chalon neged chalon? V'yesh omrim, b'chalon neged chalon mahani, it's not such a big deal to open one window against another window if they give you permission, because after all, you don't have full view of the person's home. A door, you have full view. And by the way, there are some that read this Ramah and suggest that doors in those days were not doors that had hinges the way our doors do. They basically, you took them off and you put them on the side. So, maybe those doors were even more of a visual concern because they didn't open and close as much. They were taken off, moved to a side, basically, and therefore there was a more visual scene. But the bottom line is that you cannot open any type of visual penetration into somebody else's backyard unless they agree, and even that seems to be a little bit of a concern. They're both building their homes at the same time. In other words, they have to work out that they don't have opening, they don't open towards each other. In other words, you have to be able not to be able to see into the person's window at all, and this basically is a summary of what we just saw. If you turn to the next page, Kuf Nun Dalet, turn to the next page, right before Dalet, right before Sif Dalet, if you look up a little bit, count four lines within the five lines within the Shulchan Aruch. He speaks about even a bala chanut. Va'afal pikein lo yiftach adam chanut keneged Pesach o chalon chavero b'nei shezeh hezek kavua tamid shebnei rishus harabim oberim v'shavim ve'eno mabitim bo tamid v'zeh yoshev b'chanuto kol yom mavid Pesach o b'chalon chavero. Even though normally in rishus harabim there aren't these strict issues of hezek re'iyah, it warns us that somebody who has a store and he should be careful not to open it right opposite where somebody lives so that you could see into his home. But the piece that I wanted to mention here is even more. Yesh Omrim, the Rama, Chetzarach Li Zaher, Mulastaka Babayas Chaveiro, Achihu Nitpas Kaganev, Bere'iyah, He Kibin She'ein Lo Tana. The idea is, you got to be careful not to look into somebody else's home. You got to be careful. That's the bottom line here. You got to be careful not to look into somebody else's home. The place in which we see a really nice difference, and this is where you see differences in Rishonim and how they deal with this, is the next page, page 14, Zion and Ches. We've touched on the idea of a chazaka. Some is, the chazaka, I opened the window for 3 years or something like that, or the guy is mochel. How exactly does that work? So maybe you can help me here a little bit. Okay? So here you have the Shulchan Aruch. Harei shepasach chalom mechatz chaveiro. He opens a window into his friend's domain. Umachalo bala chatzer. The bala chatzer said it was mochel. He didn't mind. He said, fine, no problem. Or we know for sure that he permitted it. Kagon Shaba the Siemo. He helped him. He helped him build his home. Oh Shiyada Hanizak below Arer. Or the person knew it and he didn't complain. Hareza Hizik Bachalon, the Enu Yachal Acharkaf Lagzor La Ara Lov Listom. And the owner of the Chatzer cannot complain about the visual penetration. And that Rama writes, Kain Ra'ui Laharos, Ma'acha Shakvar Higzik Ze Bachalon. Fopi Sharabim Hokim Bisvirlahu the Ain Khazaka Mahani Bezbriya. So the Rama is saying that there are some who say that there's no such thing as chazaka with a hezgri'iyah, comparable to other forms of nezikin where there's no such thing as a chazaka. But he says he disagrees with that. But afilu manda amar yesh lo chazaka, haynu legufo shel chalon. Sorry, getting to that age. Haynu legufo shel chalon, v'lo yuchal ba'al chatzer lismo olim chos bo. Avo hu aser lamo b'chalon ura'os b'chatzer chavero. Just because he can't be mochel doesn't mean he can be a peeping Tom from a halachic perspective. He still has to worry about matovu olecha Yaakov mishkanosecha Yisrael. Ubeze is sura ka'avid v'lo mahani lechazaka v'ze yuchal ba'al achatzer limchos bo. Ava kozman she'ein lo chazaka yuchal la'arer lov v'tzarech lismo afopi she'achshav ein tzarech livnos besedo. There's machlokas whether you need gimoshanim or not, but the bottom line is that if the person was not ma'arer, if the person was ma'arer, it has to be closed right away. So the Rama says there's no issue of, when it comes to the chalon, there is an issue of mechila. Let's look at the next sif and help me out here. B'med devarim amurim. When is there a chazaka? Sheyesh chazaka lehezek re'iyah. Ba'osa ma'isa kigam poseya chalon al chatzer chaveiro. Where is there chazaka? When I physically build the second floor, or I don't build a new floor, I redo my first floor and I open some more windows into my friend's backyard or into a backyard that we share. Aval chatzer hashutfim. What about this? There is a chatzer that we both own, and what happens is like this. Alfa pisha amdu shanim rabos below mechitza. Kim the Malaya below Asiya Shemaisa He Mazikim Zed Zeb Riya Ain Lahem Chazaka Vakofim Zed Zelatzot Machitza. I there is a joint backyard. If you ask the title company, they would actually be able to stake out exactly who owns which piece. But we've had a great relationship all these years, and we've never put a wall between us. We play football. When I play football with my kids, we use both backyards. When you play football, you use both backyards. And all of a sudden, I demand a wall between them. A real wall. Can I demand that wall? And the Shulchan Aruch says 100% I can demand that wall. I can demand the wall if we've been living together as neighbors for 20 years and all of a sudden I want that wall. So teach me, guys. Help me. Explain to me. Why is it that there is chazaka does not work in this case? Why doesn't chazaka work in this case? The halon chazaka works according to the Rambam. Why doesn't chazaka work in this case? Slightly a trick question, but help me out here. Anyone?
Yes. I have another question from before. Why isn't the nizak responsibility? No, but the damage. I'm saying that why isn't the quote unquote damaged party in these scenarios? Why do they don't have any personal liability to make sure that they're being sneezed inappropriate when I'm high?
Oh, wait a minute, the guy who's damaged because it's my property. It's my domain. That's a different chelak in Shulchan Aruch. That I have a right. I have a right to
walk around naked in my backyard.
I have a right. I'm not sure you have a right to walk around naked in your house. But the bottom line is, I have a right not to have to worry that you're going to see me naked in my backyard. I have that right. I have the right that I can. Hug my wife or hold her hand, without you having to see that, which would not be its neatest thing to happen. That's I have a right. And you have to make sure that you protect that right of mine.
There's no achrayus on his side at all.
Unless he was mochelet. If he was mochelet, according to, Zion, you can't be a peeping Tom still, but that's the point. That's the point. Yes. Great. So one answer that the Rishonim say is the difference between the wall and the wall and the windows is that in the case of the window, I did a kumva, I say action, I put in new windows. And what happens is, by me putting in new windows, I change the status quo. And if you have a problem with the change of the status quo, and you don't speak up about it, then that becomes, then you can't complain anymore. I did a maisa, you didn't complain, it's your tough luck. You had more than enough time to complain. But the chatzer, it's not that I did any type of maisa. It's that I've never been happy with the status quo that's always been there. I didn't do any maisa. I didn't cut any new windows. We didn't re-choreograph the backyard. Therefore, I have a right at any point in time to suggest that I'm not happy with the status quo anymore. That's one answer. Great. Anyone else want to suggest another answer? That's clearly the approach that's being stated here. Anyone else? Any other suggestions? Do you understand why I'm slightly perplexed? Because everybody looks slightly perplexed in this room, right? Is everyone with me? By the way, I'm not moving too fast here. Right? Everyone's with me here, right? Okay. Yeah.
Question is this: when you just spoke about it, is it similar to, let's say, the concept of squatters, right? So a person lives on the land for a number of years, and the owner of the land does not evict him, does not say anything, allows him to dwell on the land in a way because he doesn't go against them. Right. And at the end, he goes to the court and he says, "I want to claim this land as a chazakah that I have on."
I don't know. I don't know the law of the squatters' rights well enough to make the comparison. I can't answer the question. I can think about it and get back to you. I can't answer the question. Anyone else want to give another reason? Yes.
Does the shutef have a right to dissolve the partnership at any point? Would that be what he's doing? He's basically taking this joint chutzer and just saying, I want to get out of the shutef and let's just let
it go. Okay, I think that's similar. It's not even if it's a joint chutzer. Here it's basically each one has their own chutzer. Mm-hmm. and let's say that these are both the chatzerot together. It's one large one. I own half. You own half. But I've always treated it as one, so it's bigger. And now I want to put a wall in there. So I have a right to put a wall in there, even though it's been there for so many years. And the answer, according to many, is what was just suggested, and that is. Seems to be what the Mechaber and the Rama are articulating, and that is, in one case, I built windows, I did an action, you didn't complain, and therefore that becomes the status quo. Here, no one did anything, so if I decide now I want to put a wall, I'm allowed to put a wall. That's one approach, yes, but there's others. It's just
to the extent that it may not parallel to the window case, because if I'm opening up a window, I'm opening it so I can see onto yours. Here, and I'm forcing you to close a window, because you can see into me. Here, if I want my own privacy, it's maybe more similar to my choosing to close my own window.
So the other Rishonim say, the Rush and the Ritva, we'll see, I'll just show it to you, you'll read it inside yourself, basically say that in one case, there's one individual damaging the other. And therefore, if I'm damaging you and you don't complain, and you... That's basically saying that you're not being damaged, and therefore I have a right, if I open the window and you didn't complain for all these years, you don't have a right to complain after that period of time. The others suggest, but in the case of a chatzer, each one is damaging the other in issues of tzniut. There's no mazik or nizik. They're both mazik each other in issues of tzniut. And therefore, there's a difference between the two. That's what the Ritva and others say, is the fundamental difference between the two. And there are others that suggest that chazakah doesn't work at all. That chazakah, you can't use a chazakah because maybe the guy said, I thought I could handle you opening these windows. I thought that I could handle it. But I see that it's really cramping my style. It's cramping the way I walk around in my home, or the way I walk around in my backyard. So even though for 3 years I was comfortable with it, I'm no longer comfortable with it. And that's what some Rishonim suggest, Machlokes Rambam and the Ravid, that there's no such thing as Chazaka by Hezekiah. Okay? I just want to show you those two things inside in the issues of Chazaka. So if we can just turn back to the Ritva on page 3. So the Ritva says here that's why a chazaka, he actually, and by the way, that's why I read to you, remember the Rama said that he doesn't think chazaka works when it's one window against another window? So the Ritva says, the Ritva is not quoting the Rama, but obviously, but the point is, the point I want to make to you is, that in that case also, you have one person damaging the other because you have one window against the other window. So if you look at the part that I underlined, Va'od shedati nota kedivei amurim zal harif haramba bar rashba b'tshuva chelik shlishi simin kuf ayin alef simin kuf pei huvu divrei b'tur choshe mishpat simin kuf nadad v'ayin shel machlokas b'tur u'beis yosi b'das harambam the hezek ri'i afil the chalon achatzar ein lechazaka klal b'shum panim the havelik kikutra u'beis kisei the moshe kasa b'tshuva sagado the ramban etc. Then that is that, namely, that there's no such thing as a chazaka at all when it comes to any forms of hezekiah. That's the approach of the Ritva. However, he says, look further. Now, va'od. Does everyone see that the words va'od after that line? It's if I have the underlined lines, it's in the middle of the fourth to the last underlined line. The fourth to the last, va'od. Does everyone have that? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Va'od, shafil amanda amar, the hezek ri'iya yesh lo chazaka, hanemili, that's only, b'chalon, I'm skipping all the people he says in the name of, hapatuach l'chatzer, the balach alone mazik lebalach chatzer, or balach chatzer lo mazik lei v'hayol limchos. That's only when the chazaka goes one way. But in the case of a chalon neged chalon, or in the case of a chatzer of shutvim, in those cases where you're being mazik each other, chazaka doesn't work according to anybody. So there's two different approaches on why there is that nachkamina. So that's what the Ritva says. If you look earlier, also in the Rush says the same thing. The Rush says page 2, 31, line 31, Lo Shaya Kan Chazaka, the time of the Chazaka, again, everyone with me? 31, page 2, in the Rush, line 31. Everyone with me? Everyone with me? Yeah, someone has to say yes. Okay. Below Shaya Khan Chazaka. The time of Chazaka Hainu, Kivin Shisasak, below Micha Hifsid, Hainu Dafka Hecha Shamaziku Mazik, Beinu Nizik, Kigo Mishi Yishlo Chalom, Patuach Lachatzah Vere Vehezekbo, Shlo Shanim. Avahacha, Matsi Lumemar, Lama Li Limcha, Shotemim Cha, Valo Nayisi Mazikha Kamosha Yiti Maskani, Vayisi Masapa Ulaisha Tiftach Atalitvoa. In other words, in one case, there's only one mazik and one nizik. So if you're being the person who's being damaged and you don't open your mouth, therefore chazaka works. But in a case where you're damaging each other, chazaka doesn't work. That's what the Rush says. That's what the Ritva says. If you read the Shulchan Aruch, it seems the first approach that was articulated here is what they're saying, and that is, one, there's a maisa being done, and therefore chazaka can be established. The other one, there's no maisa being done, and therefore there's no chazaka. The Ravid, if I could just show you the Ravid in this issue also, if you turn to page 4, the top of the page, you'll see that the Mishnah, the Rambam paskins, like was just said, and that is that if someone opens a chalon into chatzah chavero, and the bala chatzah was machal, or it was gila daito, or that he helped them in some way, he can't complain afterwards. And the Ravid says that the only time that's permitted is only ela b'chalon atzuri, av b'chalon mitzri, olam en lo chazaka. In other words, a small window that really has no hezek re'iyah issues, it just lets in light, there was no issue. But a normal window, we never would have permitted, there's no such thing as chazaka. So again, you see the machlokes Rambam Ravid, where the chazaka works in the case of the chalon. All of these arguments in the Rishonim is predicated on how to learn that first Gemara that we read. That first Gemara in which this person complains about the fact that he put in a window and now all of a sudden his neighbor is complaining, and one person says you can keep it in because you had the chazaka, and then the other person says you can't keep it in, you have to take it out. Who do we paskin like? It's not clear in the Gemara who we paskin like. And therefore, the Rishonim argue whether there is the notion of chazaka in any form of a hezek re'iyah shaila. So, to summarize, so far we've seen the following: we've been introduced to the idea that halacha forbids one to physically enter into a person's house or to visually penetrate into a person's property. We were introduced to the sources that discuss and introduce this issue. We mentioned the idea that hezek re'iyah is not considered a form of a grama, but is considered an active form of a hezek. We mentioned the fact that that while there is an issue, an isser, of visual penetration, there does not seem to be a concern of illicit eavesdropping penetration, because the individual should just lower the volume of his conversation. We saw some laws regarding the opening of windows, whether someone is mochel or not mochel. We saw the issue of creating the halakhic responsibility of creating some type of wall in case there is a hezek re'iyah issue. And we mentioned whether chazaka applies or not to the notion of hezek re'iyah. Clearly, it only applies when the status quo has been changed, as we articulated, and even that, there's a machlokas amongst the poskim whether chazaka works or not. Any questions on what we've done till now? Yes. First of all, before we take... Does everyone understand what I just said? Yeah? Are you guys with me? Okay, yes.
In the case of the two chaseros and putting up a wall.
Right.
So we had this issue in Muncie where people would allow the use of their backyard as like a Shabbat shortcut.
Right. They have to allow the use of their backyard. That's right. The key.
But once they do, once they do, so Rav there said that they couldn't go back on it once it's a normal thing and people are going through, there's no gate or anything. So I'm wondering if you have two backyards next to each other, they've been playing football and using each other's backyard, if you're even allowed to put a ball in the first place.
I think they are. I think that that's exactly what the first halacha of the Shulchan Aruch, that they're allowed to. Well, I think there's a difference between the two of them. Because there, I think the more of the issue is the fact that you, when you walk by, you're going to be able to see into the person's house and things of that nature. That might be more of one was a kumva ase issue, right? The same way I built the windows, I've allowed them to walk through my yard.
Right.
In this case, I have 2 yards. I haven't done anything proactively. Other, you could say maybe
they
have it with football. I think that halacha is pretty clear that. I think the halacha is pretty clear that that one is allowed to demand the other. And I think, quite honestly, I don't want to take issue with any. I think there comes a point in time where if a person feels, you know, my children are older now, I'm more concerned about certain issues of tznius, you might be able to argue the fact that the Shabbos shortcut can be altered, by suggesting that perhaps chazaka doesn't work in that case when the status quo changes, which it seems to be a machlokes within the Rishonim. Any other questions? Yes.
I'm not showing up what you discussed about the Ramban, how he views what I, this is why, how I understand it, is it seems that if two people can mazik each other by opening, let's say, chalon from both ends, then he's saying that they have the right to demand to have them all set up to divide the two. But I don't know if he addresses, if let's say one person opens the chalon, and the other person doesn't. And we discussed in the Rosh and Ridva. Does he have, could their chazakah be applied?
In the Rambam?
Yeah, the Rambam.
The Rambam, Maimonides, clearly says if I open a wall to see into somebody else's area, and it causes me to be able to see into somebody else's area, so he says that there is a chazakah. Once I've kept it there, and the Rambam, by the way, later on in Hilchos Shechinim, says that all these issues, the notion of chazakah is 3 years. You have a 3-year, no pun intended, window to complain. Okay? So that the bottom line is, you have 3 years. So what's clear here is that you have 3 years to complain. You have 3 years to complain. But once you've gone over that 3-year, you know, opportunity, then you can't complain anymore about that window. The Raiva disagrees. He says there's no such thing as chazakah when it comes to Zakriya. I can say this. I thought I'd be comfortable with it. I can't be. Okay. Now, what about if there's a minhag ha-makom? You know, I don't want to focus on any one community per se, but let's say there is a, you know, laws of Rockland County, laws of New York City, laws of Florida, laws of Connecticut, laws of any whenever that says this is the way you're supposed to build, and the way you're allowed to build does not obviate issues regarding visual penetration. The state allows me to build. There's serious codes, and I can build however I'm told to build. But even with their building, what's going to happen is I'm going to be able to penetrate into somebody else's area. Do I say dina the machusa dina and basically throw hezekriya again out the window? Okay, and do I say that or not? So here you see that there are many that suggest that the minhag ha-makom won't work. So for example, if you look at the Me'iri on page 2 of our handout said clearly, third line, fourth line, Ve'ein minhag ha-minhag mo'el b'makom shelo nistale. The minhag ha-makom does not, you know, cannot change your ability. If you turn to page 15 in the handout, Kuf Nun Zayin, the Ramah in Sif Aleph, the Ramah says, Vafilu yesh minhag be'ir shelo la'soso ein holchim acharov v'kofim la'soso. Even if the minhag set doesn't require you to obviate the visual penetration, the halacha requires you to do so. The Rashba seems to hint that there was an approach that that allowed you to do it. If you turn to page 9 of our handout, you'll see the Rashba says, Chedusha Rashba, page 9, Hakol Keminag HaMedina, Yesh Omrim Keminag Vigige Ha'ir, V'dover Zet Temahu. You know, where it's that it seems to be perhaps that the minig is like the city, but it's a tema, because if a minig of the city obviates issues of hezek re'iyah, you're not allowed to follow that minhag. However, there seems to be individuals that disagree with that. For example, the Shut Maritatz from Tzfat, where there's issues. If you turn to page 4 of the handout, you'll see that I have the shoot there. But let's turn to page 5 in particular, because I want to be able to highlight the piece. The last paragraph speaks about the idea that if there is a minhag hamakom regarding the issue of if there's a minhag hamakom regarding the issue of hezek re'iyah, that perhaps I don't have to follow the halacha. And he says, look at page 5, the bottom of page 5, v'kvar bi'arnu she'im yesh minhag be'ir holchim acharav uba'artzenu tzvat emet ma'olam lo shamanu v'lo bali deinu via hezek re'iyah b'richut makom harbeh. In other words, if you have a city that has certain minhagim on issues of hezek re'iyah, you can follow those minhagim. You don't have to follow the halacha on that. As in the holy city of Tzfat, no one ever complained about issues of hezek re'iyah, because if the minhag hamakom is different, you go after the minhag hamakom and not after the halachic articulation. One second. Rav Sternbach also highlights that in the second set of handouts that I gave you, in his Tshuvot v'Hanhagot. He has a nice piece here on page 5 and 6 of that. He says the following here. He says, look at the third paragraph. The Hinei Baro Binyanim Hayom Gam Be'eretz Yisrael. Does everyone have that? Hinei Baro Binyanim Hayom Gam Be'eretz Yisrael. Lo Machbidim Al Hezek Re'iyah. Ba'osim Chalon Mul Chalon Rak Roshim Shehei Merchak Bein HaBinyanim Kishmona Midarim. Fi Anira Kivish Makaba Hayom Latkin Vilonot B'Chalon O Tvisim O Be'ikir Hezek Re'iyah Hu Shemonom La'asot Tashmishim Snuim, Asher, in Cain, Hacha the Yachaliskar Az is a treason, Lahaki Chasha the Hezek, Ainu Matsukuka, Mishimistako, Makavin, the MS Asur, the Behogavne, Ain, Dasa Adam Nocha, Shibito, Al Masa Beso, Abu Barichu, Kabayanum Kanal, the Vraya must be. Then he goes on further. In other words, he says that maybe in our day and age, because, you have these window blinds, window shades, or trisim that you can close, so therefore when you're doing something private, you can close them, people can't look in. But he says, nevertheless, when you're building a new house, you really should be careful and not to create a hezek re'iyah shaila. Turn to the next page. Aval l'chatchila, the middle of the first line, k'sheshachein bonah binyan yachav l'drosh b'menu, שחלונות לא יהיה מול חלונותיו, שענן בדידן מה טוב אורך יעקב שאין פתחיהם מקוונים. And he speaks about that issue, that you should try to obviate the issues of hezek re'iyah, especially if you have a community building that you're building, so there's a lot of traffic. So in a community building, you should be very careful not to create a situation where the windows of a community building are looking into somebody else's home. Then he goes on further, and he says, however, let me remind you of the Maritatz that reminds us that in Tzfat, they never had these issues, because the Minhag HaMakom was not to be concerned about these issues. And he writes, "V'chol makom yesh lo don l'fi aminik hamakubal avakol tverin arnau shen yochol akev hainu kam b'chul avu b'eretz yisrael shemati sheish chalukei deyos in l'kvoa k'fin shenahagu o l'chol v'chachil k'din ha-torah shemakbin al hezbu'ir dorshimi menu to do it properly." So he goes back and forth from Sternbach, and he seems to indicate that, you know, perhaps you don't have to follow the Shulchan Aruch when there's Minhag HaMakom, the Minhag HaMakom takes over. But then he basically at the end says that you should try to keep the halachas of the Shulchan Aruch. That's the best way to do it. But the normative approach, what the Ramah says, what the Meiri says, what the Rishonim seem to say, with rare exception, is that Minhag HaMakom does not give you a buy out of the issues of visual penetration. You have the halachic responsibility to be able to treat, to be concerned about the issues of hezek ri'iyah. What about distance and height? So the issues of distance and height seem to be such that, you know, it should be four amos. That's what it seems. The Shulchan Aruch Kuf Nun Dal Gimel says that. The Rambam says that in several places, that that's what the height should be. Any questions before we go any further? Yes, please.
Two things. The Mari company talks about flat. Is that his assumption that our we can change the definition of what hezek ri'iyah is? Meaning what might have been hezek ri'iyah then in the values of privacy now that it is different? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems to be that what he's basically saying is that if you read the whole Mari talks, he seems to be saying that you have a right for the community to define what exactly is hezek ri'iyah or what exactly should be the applicable rules and make that the overlay. However, there's no one else, to the best of my knowledge, that articulates it, you know, like that can be done.
Okay, and also for Sternbach, when he talks about being able to close your blinds, is it a matter of, I mean, that sounds like it's more of a defensive thing, whereas
right.
The other issue is one of, you know, you're not allowed to build a window which will go
right.
into somebody else's area. This is more how can I defend this?
Right, so that's where Sternbach is trying to explain the Mari Katz or the, everybody else by saying maybe that's why maybe hezek ri'iyah has been minimized because now there are dressings for windows. But the first source I gave you on this page from Tchumen is actually a story that happened in Gush Etzion, all right, where due to building there, what happened was that they were building and when one built another house, they built a marpesek and there was a hezek ri'iyah shaila. They did not follow the Mari Katz, even though the building department of the Moatza of Gush Etzion approved the building and said there was no problems with it, the Beis Din of the Gush Etzion upheld the halachic requirement of making sure that windows don't look on the other person's chatzer and that additions to homes didn't compromise anybody else's. It's a very, very short article in Tchumen, perhaps the shortest article I've ever seen in Tchumen. And my bottom line of giving it to you is that, and you can see the Psak Din Dalet, the cheating way to look at this, and that is, Shnei Tzadim Yishtefu B'Binyat Geder Bin Shnei Migrashim, right? They should build a wall between the two properties. Hashachin Shehosif, the Marpesa Lebeiso, Eino Rashai Lishtamish Ba, he can't use it. Gamlo Lishtoach Aleha Pesach, Hafu, he has a Pesach Harai. Ad asher yistalek gamri as a hezek ha-re'iya that emsa'ut mechitzas v'gvoa 2 meters shetimna efsherut li'iya merepepeset el beisol shel ha-nitba. So they didn't use the Mari Katz. They didn't accept that approach. They simply said hezek ri'iya shaylas need to be treated with respect, needs to be dealt with, and you cannot create, you can't use the blinds, basically. You can't buy your neighbor a set of nice blinds in order to obviate the issue. Okay? Yes, please.
So we're talking about length, height, and distances. We're saying height of a wall from ground, from wherever ground level is?
No, so it has to, depends. It depends on what your ground level is. By the way, walls can be very creative things. Walls can be bushes, right? Walls don't have to be thick cement walls. They can be bushes. Walls can be very tall bushes that create walls between, that create barriers. Thick bushes create very nice barriers. Walls can be walls can be, you know, you can create very creative walls. You can't do what was suggested in the back, create a loved wall, because it doesn't obviate your issue. But you can do other types of walls. And from a merpeset, the wall starts from the floor of the merpeset until your sight of the other person's merpeset or the other person's chatzer has been totally, you know, removed.
And here he says 2 meters, but that in general is that totally on, I mean, the height of the people living in the house?
No, I don't think it's. I think it has to be normal. The standard mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch is 4 amos, which is forward, right? Well, it's 1.6 feet is an amah, right? So was that 1.6 feet is probably an amah. So that's normally higher than most people. Alan Bravo might have to have it a little higher, but for most of us, it's just, you know, 4 amos. And that will stop you from being able to see. I think the most important issue here is that you cannot see into another person's domain. The normative mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch for the wall size, height size, is 4 amos. Regarding the type of wall, that is minat hamedina. That seems to be something that the government can tell you because there isn't an issue of what type of wall it needs to be. Yes.
So now it seems like we're talking about if someone makes a new construction or a new window or a new chesed. What if I move into an apartment that's already built in such a way that I can see into their backyard, but I didn't do it? I just moved in.
Right. So it seems to be that if that is, you know, if that's been the status, then you can rely on the chazaka piece that we just articulated earlier. I can tell you personally that in cases in which a Jew bought from a non-Jew, you know, and you know, I've encouraged, and we did it ourselves, to frost some of those windows in a way that, you know, looks, and you know, frosting can look nice. It can have a design and things of that nature. So really, it can look nice to obviate the hezbri yisha, but I don't think your halacha would be required to do so. By the way, there's an interesting tshuva I want to share with you, but I only want to do this. I wanted to just show you a few interesting tshuvas I found in the Rashba regarding these issues, because there's a story where a guy built a second floor. Person complained that he had windows, so what he was, he leased it out to a non-Jew, so that the basin could, you know, so the basin basically couldn't go after the guy. And then essentially, what happens is the basin still basically told him, you still have to, you know, frost the windows or remove the windows. We'll get to that in a second. Any other questions? Yes.
Just to clarify, what we said before about chazaka, we said it doesn't work when the status quo changes.
Right. It does not work when I did a maisa. According to one understanding of that. In other words, there was one understanding in the Rishonim that the difference between the chatzerim, chatzerot, and the chalon was, in the case of the chalon, the reason why it is, I'm damaging you. And since you didn't say anything for 3 years, that assumes that you're not damaging me. In the case of the chatzer, we're damaging each other, therefore no one has the total ownership of complaining, and since no one has total ownership of complaining, both can complain, therefore the 3 years never kicks in, so to say. That's one approach. The other approach that you're asking about is that in one case I did a maisa to be mazik you, and since you didn't complain about that maisa for 3 years, it's as if I didn't do anything. In the case of the chatzirot, I never did anything. I didn't build a wall, I didn't take one down. That's the way it was set up. I can complain even 20 years later that I'm not happy with the status quo. Okay?
And one more thing. If we're calling this a nezek, that means that there should be like something like monetary
P2M if you don't deal with it, right.
So if there's a, you know, ongoing hezek riya, could someone be tovah, someone in bedin, and paid for it?
You know, again, al-chora, yes. I don't have a full answer to that. Al-chora, yes. That's why there is a shita that says that the hezek re'iyah is not mamash a hezek, it's a grama of a hezek. But even for grama in nezikin, you can be toveya for it. I would assume if you don't respond to it, yeah, you can be called to beis din and to deal with it. And then you could get pitzuim if you don't deal with it properly. Before I walk through these tshuvas, I want to discuss a little bit more some of the practical stuff once we have some stuff.
It's related to like the concept of boshet, korea, rosh ha'isha, that's what you can claim in the court.
I can complain.
You got a restitution for boshet.
Some form of...
You have to prove it, obviously.
Well, I have to prove that you have windows there that look into my backyard. It's not such a difficult thing to prove.
Right.
Now, so let me just again go get a little personal now that we did this. And then if we have time, we'll look through some of these tshuvas. If not, they're very small vignette tshuvas. You can look at them yourself. So what happens is that all of a sudden, two families really were close, as close can be. One puts up the second floor. And all of a sudden looks into the other person's pool, and all of a sudden this relationship basically totally breaks down. And what happens even more is that the person who built all these new homes is a person from the shul also. And what happens is all of a sudden there's this basic it was approved by all the architects, the review committees, and in Florida, you actually have like these little. You have in Florida, basically, communities have these sub-communities. They're like condo organizations. Like you own your own house, but there's a head of a condo organization. You know, they're called condo commandos. You know, basically, they basically decide on what color you can paint your roofs, what color you can paint this, how you deal with, you know, how you paint. You know, when you fix the streets, when you don't fix the streets. It's like a small, like, government, but it's basically over 200-400 homes. And by the way, tangentially, for that reason, right before major elections, you'll have the Democratic and Republican parties, especially when you have not homes, but you have apartments, like where the older people live, like these Century Villages. The condo commandos are invited to meet with the people who want to run for president, because what happens is, in their back pocket, basically, they have, you know, 20 or 30,000 votes in two or three square miles. So these people, at certain times during a cycle of time, have some power. One of the things they have power on is they can approve your plans or disapprove your plans. So this person got their plans approved. They can build a second floor, and all of a sudden these second floor homes start popping up all over the place. And what's starting to happen is that people are complaining that there is hezek. They don't know that there is an institution of hezek re'iyah in most cases. They know that they don't have privacy anymore. Or what happens is one family decides not to build up, and two families on both sides build up. So they get the hezek re'iyah from both sides of the, you know, both sides. And what happens is, how do you deal with that? So that was a problem that I had, and I had to deal with it. And as I mentioned before, tongue-in-cheek, but it shouldn't be tongue-in-cheek. By definition, the people who are building fast are the ones that are a little bit more affluent. And that, you know, and you have to doubly be concerned that chas v'shalom, you shouldn't be perceived as not dealing with an issue, because the people who are building the homes perhaps have the capacity to help build your kollel or your high school or your elementary school. So you have to do two things. Well, what I did was the following. I actually met with all of the local condo commandos, basically, shared with them in a very brief way the rights of privacy, said that I was concerned that the rights of privacy were being compromised. Could we work on a way of dealing with the issues of rights of privacy? And I suggested some very simple ways. Number one is frost windows. Number two is create walls or shrubbery that is of a nature that totally covers those windows, so you still get the light, but you don't you do not compromise the other person's domain. And could we actually, in certain places where the side of the home looks into someone's backyard, instead of creating a window like the windows here, could we create a window like that pillar on top there, where basically you get light in? So then, because there is a like at this height, there's a window on the top, but the window on the top basically is too tall for you to be able to look out on. Those became the parameters which I try to set. They became the parameters that I set for the shul. When the shul built taller than all the buildings around it, that it should totally cover one set frost windows so that people would understand that, you know, the halacha begins, so to say, at the home, you know, at the shul. It was a very difficult time because you realize, as Rabbi Soloveitchik once told me during the time, that there's two groups of people that don't realize how little power they have, the KGB and rabbis. That was at the time that there was still a Soviet Union. And the bottom line is that here you basically only have moral sway. You don't really, what are you going to do if they don't listen to you? Are you going to put them in the chayrim? You're going to, you know, there's not that much you can do. You can take them to Basin. You can't take, the other people can take them to Basin. But in most cases it worked well. People understood. You came and met with them. And it was really weird because I would sometimes, a person would complain that this person could see from their bedroom into my backyard. So I would call the person up, I would walk into their house, I would walk into their bedroom, I would see if they really could see. Sometimes they couldn't see because the angles do tricks on you. Just because you think from down there that you can see up here doesn't always mean you can. And it became, I felt like I was invading everyone's privacy in the process of trying to solve this issue. But the bottom line is, one Shavuos night, I gave a shiur, which was not as anywhere near as rigorous as what we did here, but it basically I spent 2 hours on the issues of right to privacy. So obviously, this is how you make sure that people, number one, stay awake, and number two, come. Because everybody was talking about the right to privacy, because if you were not nogei b'davar, your friend was nogei b'davar. And if your friend wasn't nogei b'davar, you were a builder. If you weren't a builder, there was a chance that you worked for a mortgage company. And the bottom line is, you basically filled the shiur, you know, with people who are totally nogei b'davar, which means that you have someone come in, but also means that it was a little bit more challenging. And basically, I set the rules and regulations at that shiur that night for the laws of Hezek Re'iyah for the community. That the only builders that we should use are those that would engage in these issues. So I had, at the 12 o'clock Shavuos shiur, I had non-Jewish builders wearing the funeral kippot, you know, who came to sit in the back because they didn't want to lose out to the frum builders, you know, who would be hearing this year. And basically had a few of them who put out a little document that they basically would be under, you know, the kosher oversight of the BRS, or the Boca Raton Synagogue rabbinate. Issues of Hezek Re'iyah. But it became a real issue. And now, you know, if you walk around in the Boca community and you have some of these big, you know, houses really became palaces, but Hezek Re'iyah was really, really dealt with seriously. So you have a person, just to give you an example, who easily supported institutions of Torah in the community to the tune of $2 million, who redid one side of his house so that he only had a window that went like, you know, the top window, like a line of light, instead of having windows that he and she wanted to have in order to obviate the issue of Hezek Re'iyah. Palm trees. I became an expert at one point in time in which palm trees open the fastest and which ones can handle a hurricane. Because once you put them up, to deal with the Hezek Re'iyah Shaila, and a hurricane comes and destroys it, do you have to go through the whole problem again? Sometimes families wanted an escrow account put aside by the builder so that if the protection, namely, instead of having a cement wall after you made a $2 million change within your house, you wanted a wall of shrubbery. Well, what was going to guarantee that when there was a hurricane, And those shrubs may fall down, but someone was going to say we can afford to fix them. Because you don't want to buy shrubs that are 2 feet tall that will grow in 10 years to the right size. You want to buy shrubbery that are fully grown, and by definition, that shrubbery is a lot more expensive. So all of these laws became very relevant to me. Of course, sometimes you used fruit trees that were very big, or you use like a whole bunch of orange trees that you would put next to each other. You have to learn how close an orange tree, and by the way, there you throw in other laws, and those other laws are what? Kalayim laws. In other words, if you want to buy tall fruit trees and you want to move them, you have to move them in a way in which you're not being, you know, being creating some type of nichshol that people are going to start pulling off these fruit that are already that are still within the first 3 or 4 years of the tree's development. Because what happens is if you don't move it with a certain amount of earth, the tree restarts halachically, restarts its age. You have to move it with a certain amount of dirt in order for it to maintain its halachic age. Right. So these were some of the issues that we had to deal with, and Baruch Hashem they were dealt with to the point now, to the best of my knowledge, to the point now that even the local condo commandos, have an understanding of the Hezek Re'iyah, or the Brander law, and people respect it. But it was dealt with in a halachic sense. It was dealt with in a sense in which people understood that it was a right to privacy issue. And perhaps the greatest win is the fact that it was dealt with in which the people who were perhaps the middle class and lower middle class, you know, were able to recognize that even when the law affected changes in the upper class, the rabbinic personalities, it wasn't just me, Rabbi Fass and Rabbi Goldberg played roles in this, that the rabbinic personalities did not shy away from their halakhic responsibility to deal with this issue. But it is a very touchy issue. I don't want anyone to walk out of this when they have a pulpit and they have their first, if you ever have a Hezek Re'iyah Shaila, to think that it's so simple to deal with. It has to be dealt with sensitivities to two groups. The guy who feels that they're being oppressed, and the person who just put $2 million in or $100,000 in to fix their home up, who feels that they're being oppressed, because what right do you, Rabbi, have to come in? It's not a shaila in my kitchen, it's a shaila in my bedroom, what right, or in my family room, and you're telling me how I have to keep my windows. It has to be done with the utmost sensitivity, with a lot of schmoozing, a lot of talking, a lot of, you know, hugging and caring and everything else of that nature, but to understand the halakhic goals. Yes?
I'm not sure if you addressed this or not, but what if you have an apartment building that you have no say over what gets built and what doesn't get built, so the status quo is going to change. So what do you do? Do you have a chiyuv to move?
I don't think you have a chiyuv to move.
So what can you do? Let's say you're writing someone else's window now.
Right, so that's, I think, what Rev Sternbach was talking about. And there's some others. I brought another source here. Which speaks about Venetian blinds. The Tzarech Lomar, if you look here, the Pesach Negev Pesach Hayu B'mei Kedem Shabayom Hayu Al Pi Rov Delosos Habayis Potchim V'Hayu Nirim B'Toch Habayis Masha Ein Kein B'Zmaninu Zeh She'ein Potchim Adelet Rav Kuknis Al Yitzia.
You can put on your own window,
right?
Let's say you open your window and someone else's window, like,
I don't think you can do anything, you just do your best.
Some people in apartment buildings don't feel that you can put up
right, so you just put up your Venetian blinds and that's it. Yes.
Regarding the frosted windows being a solution, but that also means you couldn't open those windows to the extent that there wouldn't be the frosting.
Correct, that's what I meant. They have to be, or you can open them just a drop.
So it's limiting in that way.
Correct. By the way, I mentioned, the Pitzchei Tshuva mentions this issue of a frosted window. I saw it in the Pitzchei Tshuva. Page 13. You read the whole Pitzchei Tshuva on your own, but I highlighted it there. He's quoting a tshuva that's found in the Shavuos and Tshuvas of the Mechaber. And he writes at the end, you should just realize that that's zchuchit shebizmaninu hayachotzeh b'fnei ha'ayin rak hayamevi ora of zchuchit shalanu b'adi yeshul hezek re'iyah. He says that maybe there's two different the reason why they permitted a window, and they didn't, this is something about a window in a wall, and he says the reason why that window was okay was because that window was made of a glass that did not allow you to see into somebody else's. That's fine. But a window like ours that you can see through, that would be more of a problematic. So that highlighted to me this idea about a window, you know, about the frosted windows.
Who wrote this?
I don't remember. I actually did the research and I And I actually went over to Rabbi Sabalovsky right before I got here. I said, do you remember who wrote that? He goes, no. So I don't remember either. I'll let you know. I'll let Rabbi Schwartz know. You done with it? Any other questions? So I try to pack in a lot in a very short period of time, but it is an important topic, and more importantly than what a lot of the Makorot here are in front of you, let me just show you what we didn't do. In addition, we didn't do some very nice pieces that I really wanted to do. Page 6 is a very nice tshuva of the Rashba. It's like a few pages long, but he speaks about which minhagim of a community should you be samechan and which minhagim shouldn't you be samechan. It's a really nice Rashba in general about minhagim. That's why I gave you the whole thing. Page 6, page 7. But the part I wanted to show you is in the bottom of page 7 that I highlighted, and that was another sheet of the Rishonim that you minhag hamakom cannot destroy the issues of Hezek Re'iyah. Okay? So that's page 8. And then I wanted to show you one other thing that I didn't get a chance to, and that was on page 9, the Rambam and the Tor about the saw that it has to be Dawud Amos. We mentioned it. And then bottom of page 9, bottom of page and through page 10 are just some very small tshuvas on issues of Hezek Re'iyah, which all of them should be easy for you to read now, because we have incorporated all those ideas into our conversation over the past hour or so. Okay? And then I handed out, as I mentioned to you, a second sheet. I didn't want to make this into 11 by 17. The second sheet, which has that interesting article in Fuhrman, which again should be easy reading for you right now, as well as the Rav Sternbach's piece, which I thought was an interesting piece for you guys to read. Any other questions or comments? Yes?
You were saying in terms of the distance, we talked at one point of having to be a certain distance away from each other. That's in reference to what particularly?
Right, so you can't see, a window, so you can't see somebody else. So basically, there are some who give it an actual distance. Most people say as long as you can't see the other into the other person's house, that's a far enough distance away.
So, I mean, that could be 40 feet or something like that.
Well, it means you can't see clearly into the other person's house. Right. Clearly. Right, there has to be some, you have to use Sefer HaYashar on those issues, and that is a very important piece that cannot be fully concretized, in print. Yes?
For certain things, for certain structures, there's an expectation that you're going to use it to go out on the structure and see it in other people's, or not to see it in other people's, but to get it to be like a repetition. And the expectation is that you're going to walk around the Marpeset and see other things. So if you live in that apartment complex or near that area, so it probably should be upon the person with our pet. Maybe it should be upon the person with the home or the other apartment to put up the...
No, but I think the halakha is telling you that in the best case scenario, the halakhic scenario, you have to make sure that when you build a structure, you build it in a way that you do not create a Hezek Re'iyah issue. Obviously, there are communities that I go, I have my relatives in different communities, very religious communities. I'm shocked that, the buildings, the houses are so close together, and the Hezek Re'iyah Shaila has never been considered. And these are homes that are totally committed to halacha and the full, dimension of it. But unfortunately, I think the Hezek Re'iyah issues are not issues that are taken seriously within our Torah community. Okay? Thank you. Maybe now I understand what I have to do. Maybe now I finally understand what I have to do.
I missed the beginning.
Yeah, but it's not a risk for
predictions. No,
I think. Nothing. So the, yeah. No one said that. 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 No one said that